Because I couldn't see my microphone, like, right where the record line is.
Anyway.
Hey, spooky creeps and freaks.
Spooky creeps. That was terrible. And freakies. Wow.
Hey, little spooky creeps and freaks.
We're singing now?
Hey.
No. That's all you.
Hey, spooky creeps and freaks. Welcome back to the In the Nick of Crap podcast.
I'm just watching you. I'm, like, watching you through a tiny little hole of mics right now. Just, like, waiting to see what you're gonna do next.
Just gonna make up my stupid songs. Like, my son of a bitch song.
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
And Winston, I think,
hold on to your butt.
When we're driving and I'm turning.
I know. I always, Drake was in a seatbelt. Hold on to your butt. But Oscar's not, so I always have to, like, hold Oscar like a child with my arm when I turn. Arm
for Winston.
Draco, I just let him go flying because he has a seatbelt.
You're young, you're fine.
You're fine.
All your legs work. Got it. Get yourself Facts. Back up. Dick.
I love it.
I just picture him just going fucking flying. His big ass ears will help him.
For anyone who doesn't know, I have a paralyzed dachshund who does not have back legs that work.
That's the one she protects in the car.
It's the one I protect. Don't worry. The one that Michelle was like, your back legs don't work.
I said all your legs work.
That's right.
You don't need the help.
Draco's entire body works perfectly fine.
Yeah, it does. Kidzo. He is a riot.
I know. His ears have now changed how he has the tips that fold back.
Yeah.
One tip folds back, the other tip folds forward now.
My mom was just, like, staring at pictures of him. She's like, I've never seen a dog with ears like that. They're just so big.
Fucking massive. I really should have named him Dumbo. His ears are so big.
Make him Dumbo for Halloween.
Oh, I should.
But they don't flap over his face.
Oh, they just stay really massive. For a tiny little dog, they're huge.
Yes. That's what she said.
Not these nuts. These ears.
Michelle mom dog jokes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Anyways. Where did we leave off with our intro?
I don't know. My jaw hurts from laughing already.
This is the In the Nick of Crap podcast.
Yes.
Any new people are probably like, oh, no.
They're like, absolutely like, not.
Oh, we're usually a weekly true crime podcast, but we occasionally like to do some spooky, spooky, spooky shit.
And clearly, if you can't tell, we love adding a lot of comedy to this one.
We're so good at it.
We really are. We think we're hilarious. That's because all that matters.
We think the same shit is funny.
Yes.
And I don't know. We have a lot of friends that laugh with us, too. So, you know, as long as someone's laughing.
We do. I actually have a few friends who are like, I like your scoops and lore.
Can you say the name right?
You can't say it right. That's why we had to name it Scoops and Lore.
No, that's the name now.
I know.
That's why we named it what it was.
Anyway.
You dick.
They said they like these episodes better than our main episodes.
I do know some people that do.
So yeah,
I think
we're
just on for a nice variety.
We do.
When we first started this series, it was so funny because it would like always be behind our regular episode listens.
Yes.
But now they like keep up. And we even have a lot of Scoops and Lore episodes that have more listens.
Yeah, they're starting to blow our regular episodes out of the water, which I'm here for, whatever.
Yeah. So we like that you guys enjoy them.
Yeah.
We spend marginally less time researching for Scoops and Lore, but you know. So yeah, Scoops and Lore, we don't... I usually say, we don't flag around, but we just did.
Yeah.
But we don't do any, like, other intro stuff. We don't do our weekly fuckery, and Courtney always goes first. Okay, bye!
Yes, I'm on it. And, you're gonna hate me for this.
Oh, boy.
You're gonna hate me so much.
You know they can't see you doing this fucking weird shit with your hands.
I know. I'm awkward turtling right now, okay? Because...
Oh my gosh, just say it, you weirdo.
I'm taking us back to Asia.
Of course you are. Of fucking course you are. I stopped keeping tallies of things and I need to start again.
I didn't actually mean to do this one. I just happened to be searching. No, let me finish. Stop. I was literally looking at a TV show and it wasn't even one of my normal like K-dramas or anything. It was like a normal TV show on Netflix and this popped up and I was like, what is that? And then I started looking into it and I was like, well, this is fascinating. It's called The Terracotta Army.
Cool. I've actually heard of that.
Have you?
I have.
Okay.
I don't, like, know about it, but I've heard about it.
Wild. So, I'm going to start off in March of 1974.
Okay.
Okay? Just stop making fun of me. Leave me alone. Stop. Michelle's making fun of me.
She just got her fucking hands up.
Shut up. Asshole. Anyways, in March of 1974, we have some farmers from the local Siang Village, and I looked this up before I said it, which is currently a part of the Terracotta Army Village, which that's what they've now called it.
Interesting.
Or at the time it's called the Zayahi Village.
Okay.
They began digging, looking for water sources, just like you would. Why? Because they needed water sources. This is a very tiny village. It's not very big. So they found some unique red soil about 2 meters. Those of us in the U.S., 6.6 feet.
Thanks.
Yep. Because I didn't know at first.
We're dumb.
Metrics. Metric changing is not my thing. You learn it in school and then you forget it.
Right.
but it is about 6.6 feet deep underground that they're digging at this point and they find this soil.
Okay.
On the fifth day, they're excavating, and all of a sudden they find a life-size terracotta warrior. And if you guys don't know what terracotta is, it's clay.
Pots, terracotta pots.
Yeah, a lot of people, I didn't know that a lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. I mean, I probably really only know because fucking plant
lover. Yeah, you are, you're a plant lover. You totally know
that.
These
are all plastic, but I have quite a few terracotta plants.
Yeah. Pots. And the villagers originally believed that the warrior was a pottery god. They didn't, like, you have to remember, they just are digging and all of a sudden this thing comes up.
Yeah.
You're living in a world, well, a world, in a country where, like, gods are all different kinds of things. So, yeah, it's made of terracotta. Cool, you're a pottery god. Let's go.
Cool.
They continue digging and they start to find bronze arrows. They find crossbows. They find other broken warriors, like terracotta warriors that are broken.
Cool.
All this kinds of stuff. It's kind of weird. So someone in charge actually reported the findings to a local protection department of cultural relics.
Okay.
Which I didn't even know that existed, but hands up to you, my friend, for letting them know. The local cultural workers thought that the pottery god, I'm putting that in quotations, and weapons could be actual national treasures. And they collect all the arrows, the crossbows, all the broken pieces, and then they sent the relics to a local cultural center for restoration.
That's awesome.
Right.
That should be how anyone that finds things like that should always try to find a place to bring them, to give them their proper
But what do we do in America? We just pick it up and take it with us. So, this restoration work actually drew the attention of a journalist who was visiting local, like, relatives. They weren't even from there. They were just visiting.
So it just so happened.
Yeah, and he wrote a internal reference to the central government to report this discovery.
Cool.
Which drew the government's attention at this point. They didn't even know this was going on. Oh, and they actually established an excavation team to unearth the actual terracotta army that I'm talking about on the 15th of July, 1974.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because, yeah, it's like if there's that much stuff in one spot, chances are there's way more.
Well, and it's kind of interesting how this all comes about. So, since then, obviously, the Terracotta Army has gradually become known to the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think it should be actually one of the wonders of the world because the Great Wall of China is also one of them. However, it is not.
Okay. But, like, how would you make it a great wonder? It's like usually those are stationary things.
It is stationary. The Terracotta Army is stationary. Oh. There are pieces of it that do travel throughout the world. But the actual army that I'm talking about does not move because it's actually found in an underground cavern.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
So, like, the Terracotta Army cavern.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's yeah, fair. Yeah. And that's I'm going to explain, actually, a little bit about that right here. Okay. So, some history for you guys. Mm-hmm. So, in 246 BCE, Qin Shi Huang.
Okay.
Ha, go me. Okay. China's first emperor, did okay. not know that, took the throne at the age of 13.
Oh my god. This is our first emperor at 13.
13, bro.
This child like, is gonna rule.
Holy hell, if I was 13 years old taking over anything.
I would never trust a fucking 13 year old.
Hell no.
To be an emperor, hell to lead, no. to be nothing.
Hell no. Hell no.
No. No.
Absolutely. Both of us are shocked at the fact that he's 13 years old. But here's what's wild about him. He is the first imperial emperor.
Okay.
He created several accomplishments, including mm-hmm. standardized scripts and coins.
Oh, okay.
He constructed the Great Wall of China. This is the homie who constructed it.
Okay, man.
And the overall expansion and unification of the state of China.
Damn.
And he started at 13.
I feel like he had to have had an adult in his ear, like,
I had to.
Hey, psst.
You should do this.
You should try this.
Check this out.
It will go really well.
It'll help, I promise.
This wall. Build it.
It's just gonna go across the entire place of China. It's gonna take years to build.
But it'll be okay.
Lots of people are gonna die because of it, but it's fine.
People will like it.
We're such morons, I love it. Okay, so to celebrate his triumphs, and to memorialize his life, he mm-hmm. ordered the construction of what we now know as the Terracotta Army, but also okay. he did it in a region that had a lot of jade mines and was very rich in gold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Smart thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He envisioned a complex mausoleum filled with his precious earthly possessions, including rare jewels, architectural models, and thousands of terracotta soldiers to protect him in the afterlife.
Given some Pyramids of Giza vibes over here.
Facts. Absolute facts.
Yeah.
So, about 7,000 laborers dedicated decades
Holy
to constructing
shit.
This over-the-top tomb, and the site was actually I left never... unfinished.
Holy, how big is it?
This thing is massive, okay. my dude.
That is so weird, because I'm, like, picturing something else entirely.
Yeah, he ended wow. up dying in 210 BCE, so, like, by the time he died, they hadn't finished constructing this.
Damn. And you said what year he...
210 BC, and it looks like he became the first emperor in 246 BCE.
Oh, okay. So yeah. that's a pretty long time.
Pretty decent
for some
amount of time.
I was thinking that was only like a few years, but yeah, that's a
yeah, pretty decent amount of time that he's
remember,
doing this.
BC goes backwards.
Backwards,
kids.
Guys. Backwards. I always forgot that too, because I mean, I went to a Christian school, so everything right. is like BC, AC, yeah. all this random ass shit, and you yeah. always forget that it's backwards.
Yep.
So he designed with an impressive level of detail. So each one of these figures is a one of a kind piece of art.
Wow.
The life-size sculptures vary in height according to military rank,
mm-hmm.
with their uniforms, hairstyle, and even facial shapes and expressions following suit. Each one is different. There are no matching Damn. Soldiers.
Who created the soldier statues?
The 7,000 workers.
Also, even the people that were building it also yes. created the statues.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And I found a bunch of other stuff that I didn't put in here, but, like, they actually had made plaster, like...
Plaster of Paris?
Plaster. They made plaster, like,
Butt cheeks?
No, like...
Titties?
No! Stop! They just made plaster things to put the terracotta in to make, like, a mold. That's what I'm looking for. Jesus Christ!
I was like, a half an eggshell? Like,
no,
like
mold.
A Venus and a half shell type situation?
Turtle power? No. They made these molds, but then when they took them out, they did different facial expressions and things on them with terracotta.
Oh, okay. So, like, the mold was kind of the structure, and
Correct.
Then they took the artistic liberties
yes.
over the rest. Okay.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of fascinating.
Pretty ingenious.
Yeah. Even though right now, when you look at them, they look like they're gray, they originally were painted to show lifelike features mm-hmm. and to draw the attention of people with eye-catching colors. So they used to be cool. Very bright colors.
Yeah.
Like I said, each soldier is different. Each one has a different facial expression, different hair, different eyes. Like, wow. Everything is different. They haven't found a matching one yet.
That's really cool.
Yep.
How many have they found so far?
8,000.
Holy fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
I was just about to tell you, 8,000.
Oh my gosh.
So in addition to these 8,000 that have been found so far, because mm-hmm. they're still excavating this site, mind you.
Right.
130 ceramic chariots have been found.
Mm-hmm.
670 horses were also found.
I have another question.
Yes.
Are these life-size or are they scale? Oh my gosh.
Life-size.
Holy fuck.
These things are wild, bro.
Wow. Like,
absolutely. This is why this totally fascinated me, because I was like, how the hell did you do this?
No, it makes sense why it took so fucking long. Yeah, because they didn't have any modern technology. No. All that shit was by hand.
Everything's by hand. And they have to burn the terracotta by hand to dry it, to, like, form it.
Yeah, they have,
like,
to create the plaster. Yeah. They would have to create any clay they're using, all
and
of
then
that.
You have to remember they have to move them into place. So, I don't know if you remember what it looks like, but they literally have them in lines.
Yeah, I'm, like, getting very vague.
Yeah, and I'll show you pictures. It's kind of cool. I think it's fascinating.
I studied this a little bit in one of my art history classes, but it wasn't, like, the structure as a whole. It was, like, just pieces from it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
They also found clay figures of dancers, acrobats, and musicians.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question that I'm sure you will be able to answer. Not, like, anything against you, but I'm like, how the fuck did they have acrobats back then?
Well, you have to remember, we're in Asia, and Asia was the leading country of starting this. So
but I just think of, like, how acrobats perform now. Like, what did they...
I think it was more dance than what we're thinking of acrobatics, right. But they had to have a certain figure, and they had to be very flexible.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, additionally, many of the terracotta warriors originally were holding real weapons.
Okay.
Real swords, spears, crossbows, and lances.
I'm surprised that they would be willing to, like, lose those weapons, because it took forever to make those back then.
Right?
Oh, gosh.
And they actually, like, they will hurt you. They are that nice of weaponry.
Wow.
Like, they were saying when they had to remove some of them, they had to be really careful because they were so sharp because they had never been used.
Right. So, do you know, and if this is jumping ahead, sorry, I'll cut this out, but do you know if these were meant to truly just be, like, for artistic purposes, or were they meant to be, like, relics or idols?
So they're not relics or idols, and they're not for artistic purposes either.
So the fuck were they for?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
We're going to get into that. No, you're fine. Keep that because it's interesting. But also, most of these artifacts have been stolen.
Not surprised.
Not surprised at all. But there's still 40,000 items that remain that are being studied.
Oh my gosh.
So far.
Since 1978, right?
74.
Holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I'm going to go through 10 interesting facts for you guys, because I just thought it was really cool to go through these.
Yeah.
And some of them I've already talked about, but I'm going to reiterate them.
Right.
Number one, they were discovered completely by accident. We already knew that.
Yep.
Number two, there are no historical records of these existing.
Which is bizarre. You would think with that much effort going into that, they would want that shit to be known.
Right?
Wow.
My guess is it's because he died before they finished it.
That could be.
So I'm assuming, like,
people
were like, and we're done. Like,
but you would also think, we've spent so much time on this so far, see it through. Or maybe they felt like they couldn't carry on the vision of it. Interesting.
Number three, the scale of the discovery is immense. So since the discovery of the Terracotta Army, more than 2,000 warriors and horses have been excavated in three different burial pits, with estimated to have over 6,000 still buried underground that they haven't gotten to.
Did it say anywhere, like, what, like, kind of mileage or, like, square footage?
There is dimensionals, but I don't know 100% of them. I only know...
They probably don't know.
My guess is probably not. These are massive.
Wow.
Yeah. So, amazingly, like I said, no two figures are exactly the same.
Right. Which, how, with thousands and thousands and thousands, how would you make
them different? They have literally tried. They've tried to find matching ones, and they can't.
They must have literally had it down to every minute detail.
Well, a lot of them think that a lot of these were made after actual people, actual warriors, and then the people who are making them also made one for themselves.
That makes sense.
And so they think, like, that combination is why you don't have any matching figures.
Wow.
Yeah. So they think each soldier is actually based off of a real soldier.
That would make more sense, honestly.
Number 5, they were part of the first emperor's search for immortality. This is the whole reason why he built this in the first place.
What would that give you?
I don't know. He wanted to live forever.
It's because he's a little child.
Well, and life expectancy was not great then.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, he lived to be, what, like 45, 50?
50, somewhere in there. He spent a huge number of resources building this magnificent underground empire, right? Mm-hmm. Equipped with everything he would need in his afterlife.
Right.
He had palaces, an army to protect him, chariots to travel in, stables full of horses, entertainers, and his concubines. They have found concubines as well. And you know that's part of it. Covering an area of 56 square kilometers. Which I'm not even sure what that equates to.
I'll find it. So 56 kilometers is 183,727 feet.
That would make sense because it's the largest burial site on Earth right now.
Holy shit, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In 1987, the site was given UNESCO World Heritage status.
Nice.
And is the major tourist attraction in this town.
I bet.
Yeah.
I think that is pretty understandable.
Right? As I said, number 6, it's not just soldiers. I already told you all the other things. They also found 15 terracotta musicians, which I already told you musicians, but there's 15 of them.
So what music, like what instruments were they playing?
My guess is traditional Chinese instruments. Yeah. And 13 bronze water birds to entertain the emperor in his past life, or in his afterlife.
Wow.
Yep. They also found a pit full
of... Okay, but hold on, because he wanted to be immortal. Why is he making birds and designing these things to entertain him in his afterlife if he wanted to be immortal? It's foreshadowing, contradicting what he wants.
Hey, I'm just the messenger. I have no idea. They also found obviously pits full of stone armor, and they found other pits full of horse skeletons. Like,
oh my gosh.
So physical horses were in there as well.
I hope those poor babies were already deceased before they got put down there.
I have no idea. I wouldn't know.
I hope they were buried there.
Oh. Number 7. The figures were an early feat of mass production, which, probably one of
the
first.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Number 8. The warriors were actually painted, which I already talked about, but with the colors that we have not seen today. Some of the colors that they are able to pull from them, they're like, we don't have this in a color palette.
Wow.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Number 9. The warriors carried real weapons, like I said. And number 10, the greatest mystery is still to be revealed. So the emperor had a tomb as well in this area. And the tomb actually remains a mystery because archaeologists and historians have left it sealed. They have not gone in and excavated
it. And they have every reason to believe that he is actually in there, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have used geophysical surveys of the tomb, but the mausoleum itself has still not been excavated. The tomb was written about, actually. So the tomb was written about, not the soldiers.
Right.
They said that it was written about by a Han dynasty historian, which is interesting because they're two very different dynasties, and they do not get along either, who described palaces and scenic towers for a 100 officials, as well as many rare artifacts and treasures, in addition to the two major rivers in China, which I don't even know how to say the first one, Yangtze?
You would know better than I would.
And the Yellow River, I probably butchered that, I do apologize, were simulated in the tomb using mercury.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the tomb ceiling was decorated with the heavenly constellations.
Cool.
So he felt like he could continue to rule over his empire even in his afterlife.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
One, interesting because this is scoops and lore.
Mm-hmm.
Supernatural story for you real quick about this.
All right.
So in 1974, that group of farmers went in, right?
Yep.
Accidentally discovered these terracotta soldiers.
Stirred a lot of shit up, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So instead of fame and fortune, The seven farmers found only despair, unfortunately. Three of the seven died painful deaths.
Yikes.
And all the others, their land and homes were destroyed as a means to unearth the army.
Oh my gosh.
And many believe they were cursed by whoever was buried alongside the figures.
Yikes. I would be afraid to touch any of that. Be like, I'm gonna get some bad juju here. Yikes.
I mean, facts.
Yikes.
Straight facts.
Woo!
But yeah, that's the Terracotta Army, my friends. See, I told you it was kind of cool.
It is. It's very cool. It's fascinating.
It's super cool.
That's wild.
And, like, pictures of it that I'm going to post, like, it was mind-blowing. Like, I couldn't even, like, pick pictures because there were so many, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
It's just going to have to come down to the day that we post.
Right.
That I'm just going to...
Exactly.
Just fucking start throwing shit out there. Because it's cool.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah, they're it's gonna massive.
Still be, yeah, they're going to be working on that for... decades longer.
Oh, easily.
At least.
Easily.
Yeah.
Wow. As this is one of the biggest burial sites so far.
Right. Right.
On Earth.
Holy shit. Well, they have to be careful when they excavate, too.
Yeah, because terracotta is very like, super scary to mess with.
Yeah, they
have
to go in with their fucking brushes and make sure they're not breaking anything. Yeah, they can't just go in with a fucking...
shovel.
Yeah. The little Bob Builder shit.
Excavator?
Yes.
Scoop. Oh shit. Oh my god.
Well dang, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But real cool.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, that's awesome. Holy shit.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
Yeah. Well, I like it. It's awesome.
Fabulous. What do you have?
So I am going to talk about the lost city of Atlantis.
Oh shit.
I've been wanting to do this for a while. I was like, because, I mean, yeah, it definitely falls into lore, so.
Yeah, it does, because a lot of people think it's real and a lot of people don't.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of evidence both ways.
I know. And there's a lot of different evidence to support both, too, which is weird.
And then it puts it in way different places, too.
Yeah. So I tried to kind of compartmentalize this so we weren't going to be here for hours.
Lovely.
So just kind of giving you the high points here. So the lost, quotation marks, city of Atlantis was first brought to light over 2,000 years ago by Plato, which
oh,
I didn't know.
I didn't know it was Plato.
I didn't know he was the first. But, yeah.
Huh.
So, he was an ancient Greek philosopher, for anyone that doesn't know.
A very famous one.
Pretty big deal. So, Plato said that Atlantis was a utopian island kingdom that existed around 9,000 years before his time. So, we're talking about 11,000 years ago. Compared to now. Atlantis was said to have all of the worldly pleasures, and it was an inviting paradise for all intents and purposes. Stories say that it was a lush, very large island that had canals and was built with concentric walls.
Mm-hmm.
So circular. I just, totally different than what I have pictured because of different shows and, you know, in
Disney.
Yeah, exactly. The city, reportedly, compared to these stories, just disappeared one day. And it became one of the biggest mysteries in the world, obviously. Researchers have tried for all of this time to find out the truth about this city, but it's never actually been found. Lore states that the city sunk into the sea after a tsunami or an earthquake struck it. So it's one of the lore.
I'm gonna say both, but okay.
Right. There are some stories that pin the city around the Rock of Gibraltar. Plato implied that it was somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, which makes sense because of the name.
Mm-hmm.
For reference, just kind of give some insight, the Rock of Gibraltar is in the Mediterranean Sea east of the Atlantic Ocean and is between Spain and Africa, Morocco area. Morocco is in Africa, kids, just in case
so
you
So is
didn't
Egypt,
know.
In case you were wondering. Right.
Researchers have looked in the Atlantic, though, and they haven't found any such sunken city. Some people even argue that the city's under Antarctica, which I never knew that people tried to say that it was.
No, I've heard that people think it's that island off of Alexandria as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that would actually make sense.
Right.
But.
Right.
Wrong time frame.
Yeah. For a long time, many believed that the Azores region of Portugal was the site of the city.
Huh.
But modern research has actually honed in on Cadiz, which is between Spain and Morocco, which lends more credence to the Rock of Gibraltar location theory. even though it isn't known if the city is actually real, there's obviously enough stock in the stories for a lot of time and effort to go into finding out the location of the city. So it's just crazy to me that so many people actually believe that it's real. I think if it had come from someone other than Plato, maybe wouldn't have.
No, because Plato was a big time philosopher. Exactly. Like, this man knew his shit.
With a lot of things proven to be true.
Yes.
So, yeah, just saying. The size of the city is also unknown. According to MarineInsight.com, Plato wrote, quote, "For the ocean, there was at that time navigable, for in front of the mouth, which you Greeks call, as you say, the Pillars of Heracles, there lay an island which was larger than Libya and Asia together, and it was possible for the travelers of that time to cross from it to the other islands, and from the islands to the whole of the continent over again them which encompasses that veritable ocean."
Oh, I don't miss End Plato. Quote. I don't miss Plato at all.
Long time ago. The way they spoke.
Dude, crazy. It hurts my brain. I can't even comprehend what he was saying because I lost track at the first sentence.
I was going to not include that quote, but I was like, I feel like we have to because people had to make heads or tails of what the fuck he was saying.
Facts.
So, who knows? We could have all just interpreted it incorrectly, too. But there are people that are...
Platotopians, right?
Yes.
Isn't that their name? Well,
yeah, like foremost authorities on Plato. Platopians, maybe?
Platopians.
Yeah, something like that.
Jinx.
Stories after Plato's time just call it giant. And there isn't really anything specific to compare giant. The city to. It's just fucking big.
It's just one word. Giant.
It's just fucking huge.
Okay, but what's giant, guys?
Yeah, giant to you, giant to me. That could be very different.
Giant of giants, like tongue.
Tertullian, who was an early Christian author, also thought the same as Plato regarding the size of the island or city, however you want to categorize it. He believed that it once existed in the Atlantic Ocean, and he said it would be larger than the size of Libya and Asia today combined.
Ooh,
that's massive.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Libya and Asia?
Yes. Combined. However, those that believe Atlantis is in the Mediterranean Sea, they liken it more to the size of Crete, which is Greece's largest island.
I'm just saying, if it's really that big, we would have fucking found
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
There's
I'm
like, you no cannot way.
Tell me that shit is not that... I mean, I know the ocean is vast. Vast. But...
Get out of my head.
Stop it. Stop it. But, like, seriously, if it's that fucking large, like, larger than the size of continents...
Yeah, there's no way we wouldn't have found
right.
it.
Right.
No way.
Right. And especially if it's in the Mediterranean or... by the Rock of Gibraltar, like, that sea space is not that big.
No. That's why get when you just said the next one, it made more sense the size
Unless
of Crete.
Unless they can't get all the way down there. Possibility.
I mean, that's a long way to go, and it is possible, but yep. I just can't see
yeah.
it.
I agree. But also, we are not marine experts, so who fucking knows?
Facts.
Edgar Cayce, who is an American Christian mystic, I felt like that was an oxymoron.
I just wish I had seen my facial expression right
there. It was the same thing I thought, too, when I read that. I was like, the fuck, but what?
Wait. Wait, how are you a mystic and a Christian?
I mean, I guess I kind of am. I'm not, like, special. But,
no, but,
like
claiming to be the mystic.
Right.
No.
Well, and it's just
okay.
A mystic and not, like, the foremost mystic. It's not, like, capital M mystic. I don't know. Anyway. I just thought it was funny. Your reaction was the same as mine. But he said that Atlantis was the same size as Eurasia, which is Europe and Asia combined.
That's still huge.
That's fucking gigantic.
Asia itself is massive.
I know.
Massive. I know. People forget that India is part of Asia. Like,
right. Exactly.
This is a big, big, big yeah. piece of land.
Fucking huge.
Okay, I'm still, I don't buy it. I don't buy it, but
I know.
Continue.
I'm with you. There are legends that say that Atlantis was built by Poseidon, who is the god of the sea.
Love me some Poseidon.
Me too. It is said that it was built of earthquakes and storms when Poseidon fell in love with Cleito. Or Cleito. I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah. It's Cleito.
I've also heard them change her into Calypso, and I'm like,
yeah.
No.
Right.
Two different people.
Like
but
she
okay.
was immortal. Calm down.
Yeah.
So she was a mortal woman, obviously. He built the city on top of a hill on an isolated island to protect Kleito.
Sorry.
And he...
my diaphragm contracted. Leave my body
Courtney and her fucking mutant hiccups.
Facts.
Hey! It's like a dolphin. That's like stuck on something. There was a Santa Claus Studios video I was watching last night. And they were doing this game. It's like charades with sounds. Uh-huh. And they're trying to make a fucking dolphin sound. And I was dying laughing. Oh my gosh, I'll have to make
I
you
can
watch
do it.
That.
Very well.
They did not do well. Okay. Moral of that story. Anyway. So, he built the city on top of a hill on an isolated island to protect Kleido, whatever the fuck you want to call her, and he named it Atlantis. This story claims that Poseidon walked through the entire world to find the largest island he could. When he found that island, he saw that it was occupied by people who were all more intelligent and beautiful than any other people he had met. I'm assuming just mortals that he had met.
Fair.
Because, you know, the Olympians, they were all...
I mean, you can't beat the Olympians, so...
And here is where he met his love. The home that Poseidon built for Kleito was Kleito. I can't decide on how to fucking pronounce her name. But it was surrounded by land and rings of water. And the rings of water, there were 5 in total. And they were connected to the ground via tunnels. And the outer rings connected to the ocean via a canal on the outer rings. So, this likens to what Plato said with concentric building, you know, and that there were canals and everything too. So, checks out in that sense. The tunnels and the rings were large enough to actually accommodate ships. But Poseidon had every route into the city heavily guarded with gates and towers.
Fair.
Because he's like, do not come near my human love.
Girl.
Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna have Percy Jackson after this.
Legends say there was also another hill called the Hill of Kleito, where it is said Poseidon kept his wife because he didn't think she was loyal. He's like,
no surprises
fucking,
there.
He's like, I'm gonna fucking protect you, but also I don't want you to have your freedom.
No surprises in Greek
You're
mythology.
You're a god, man. Don't be.
I'm just saying, if a girl wants to walk human. Out on a god, then that's her problem,
yeah.
Not yours.
It means you're lacking something, Poseidon. Maybe you came on too strongly.
I was actually going a way different direction, but you're right. You're right. Say less.
What, that little fish penis?
No, I was going in the direction of, like, she just got bored easily because she has eyes for other human men.
Could be.
Because, you know, we got some skanky people like that, too.
Well, apparently all of these people on this island were very beautiful. So.
I mean, say less.
Yeah, she could have just been very shallow.
Yeah.
Who knows? But he had large pillars and moats surrounding this hill.
Okay.
Legends also say that Kleito birthed 5 pairs of twin sons. 5 pairs of twins with Poseidon. 10 children in 5 tries. Yoikes.
Fuck that.
Mm-mm. The oldest of their sons was Atlas.
Oh,
and he became the king of Atlantis.
Oh, okay.
Royalty.
Okay.
There's also a part of the legends that say that the sons built a massive temple for their father, and it garnered a giant statue of Poseidon riding a chariot being carried by winged horses. The statue was made of gold, and the temple where it was housed reportedly had a spiral rooftop that was so high that clouds would drift through it. So it must have been an open spire.
In through Earth's atmosphere. Okay,
yeah.
Solid.
Yep.
Right, let's
yeah.
go.
Cool. Now, the legends say the city was even more elite because now it was inhabited by half god, half humans. So it was like already great and it's just leveled up. Oh. So it's up here now.
Wow, I did not it's know half thoughts. Of this and my brain is like.
I know, I actually
blown.
Didn't know all these. I knew like Poseidon and his sons were intertwined with the story, but I didn't know like all of this.
That's wild.
The city was reportedly completely self-sufficient, and the people of the city grew their own food, they raised their own animals, so it was completely autonomous. They were solid. The farmers of the city had an elite irrigation system for its time,
yeah.
And boasted very fertile plains. Yeah. So they're like, we're the best. Fuck you all. That's the moral of that story. We have half gods, half humans. We grow all of our own shit.
Demigods.
We, you know, raise all of our own animals. We have this great irrigation system. We never want for anything.
I even heard that they supposedly had, like, flushing toilets and running sinks, and, like, they were, like, way ahead of their time.
Well, why didn't they share that innovation?
Because they were on their own island.
With other people.
They're on their own island. Ain't nobody getting in and out?
I'm just saying. It just sounds like only Cleto couldn't get out.
No, because remember he had everything gated off. Like, people weren't allowed in and they weren't allowed out.
He said they had it guarded, but it seemed like it was mostly to guard her.
Fair, but...
I don't know.
I mean, who knows? I mean, if we've seen the Disney Atlantis and also the Disneyland Aquaman, is
completely different from
Aquaman
this
too. Like, they always
watch Aquaman. I won't watch DC shit, Courtney. You know this. It's garbage.
Anyway,
the last DC movie that I watched was Dark Knight. That movie was great. Before Heath Ledger died, R.I.P. The architecture of the city, according to legends, was built of black and red stone material. Which is interesting, because I always associate Atlantis with lots of gold and, like, blues and
turquoise. I would say blue and silver is kind of the two colors I see, but yeah.
Right, because of the movie. The people also had plenty of access to rare metals and alloys, and they were able to use crystals for experiments and just for leisure. Just for fucks. Although, how would you use a crystal for leisure is what I want to know.
I had a thought process, but I'm
sure it's the same as mine.
Probably.
They also had, quote, a lot of free time to play with volcanoes.
That's where I leave you. Who comes up with this shit?
I know. That's it. That's
where I leave you. Who comes up with this shit?
They're like, let's play with a volcano.
Let's just play for shits and giggles.
Like, were they active volcanoes?
Like, how are you getting up in that shit? Like, that's hot as fuck.
I just picture them being like, are you gonna jump in? Is there any magma in there? Is it active? Is it just a mountain? How do you play with a volcano? Maybe Poseidon is like,
let's see,
creating earthquakes and tsunamis. And they're like, ayo, bitch, you want to see this
erupt?
Let's see
how much baking soda powder we can throw in here to make it explode.
Yeah. It's like they're playing chicken with the fucking volcano. I just picture Poseidon being like, I'm going to create this tsunami. We're going to see if it's going to erupt. You want to stand up there and see if you're going to get caught
in it? Is that
where
Pompeii came from?
You know? I thought of Pompeii a lot when I was researching this.
I'm sure you did, because they always could, they simulate the two together.
Yep.
And sometimes say that it is Atlantis. Mm-hmm.
That's something I want to cover too.
Pompeii.
Yeah. That's even though it's not like lore, I still feel like it does.
Pompeii scares the shit out of me.
I know. I did a whole unit on it, I think either in like sixth grade or junior high, and I was like terrified. For months.
I'm still terrified of volcanoes for that reason.
So yeah, that's where I leave you.
I can't wrap my head around all of these theories, and I'm going to put that in parentheses because they don't make sense.
I know, they don't at all, but that's the thing. It's like,
there's literally a few that make sense, and it's really like the size of Crete. Mm-hmm. Yes, makes sense.
Right.
Being over in that area absolutely makes sense.
Right. Yeah, because I could truly buy the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, or the Rock of Gibraltar, or the Sea of Gibraltar. I could buy any of that, really. True. But yeah, if they're trying to say it's the size of Eurasia, the fuck? And you haven't found it?
The size of Africa.
Well, right? Like, or not all of Africa.
No,
because they reference Morocco specifically, so it's only like the tippy top. But still, the hump of Africa.
Still, that's a lot of it land. Is. Like, those are big. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
And that's like saying the size of the United States at this point.
Bigger than that.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, trying to put it into terms of, like, my brain.
Yeah.
That's like the United States plus more. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Absolutely not. There's no way.
Right.
Nope. I refuse.
But yeah, that's kind of the more outlandish, you know, stuff about it. There are more theories that people have, but, you know, Scoops and Laura wouldn't have fun with it.
I love it. I'm here with it.
It's crazy.
I can't wrap my head around it. I just can't. And then Plato coming in with his verbiage.
I know.
That I lost.
I was tempted to go try to find his writings on it. I'm like, my brain would have melted after like two paragraphs.
I'm sure people would have been like, and I'm not listening to the rest of this.
Let me find a dumbed down version of Plato's writings on Atlantis.
Let Like, so. The Iliad was hard enough for me to read, let alone, right. like, you're going to start
and that's
throwing...
Homer.
Yeah, and Homer's... I think Homer's hard, too, truthfully. Like, any of those philosophers are very
Homer's
hard.
Crazy is those are epic poems. Like,
epic.
Like,
it's a book. It's a small book.
It's not a small book.
I mean, they're pretty...
It's a decent-sized book.
Not bad. I have the Iliad here somewhere. Maybe it's the Odyssey. I have one or the other.
Odyssey is the big one.
It's pretty small. No, it's not either of those. It's a paperback. What? It's on one of my shelves. I'll find it in a second. Ah. But anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Woof. Well, thanks for bringing the wild-ass theories of Atlantis.
You're welcome. Fun times. Fun times.
Yeah.
I get a pretty cool mental image of it, of, like, the Poseidon version of it, though.
I do like the Poseidon version of it. I think it's fascinating.
Yep.
But mainly because, like, you have said and I have said, Greek mythology is very fascinating in general.
I love Greek mythology. I've literally been tempted to just, because I have all kinds of mythology books, I've been tempted to just fucking read some shit out of one of those for Scripts and Lore.
Do it.
Thought about it many times.
I won't complain.
I probably will.
Throw it out there, dude.
I've got, like, 4 or 5 books on mythology.
Yeah.
In Greek philosophy, too. I've got a philosophy, but that would be great.
Ouch. That makes my head hurt already. Like, shoot me now.
But anyway.
Anyway, well, that was, wow.
That's it, though,
Chicken. Yours was, like, funny. Mine was, like, here's some whack-ass shit for you.
Yours is so cool. I just try to make mine funny. If I can't find anything that's, like, going to be humorous about it, I tend to go with something else for Scoops.
I mean, we had some funny stuff in mind.
Yeah.
Not much, but...
Yeah. I like it.
Very factual.
Yes. But it's fascinating.
Fascinating. That's what this is about.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you have any weird shit that you want us to tell on an episode of Scoops and Lore...
I think we have some from a listener on Instagram, but I gotta go back and look.
Okay. Okay.
But with that, if you guys want to send us stuff,
send it to our email, please. And the nickofcrimepodcast@gmail.com.
And we're going to start posting these on TikTok, too. We post a lot of our main cases, but you posted the last one from Scoops and Lore, and I really liked it. It got a lot of stuff on it, and so we'll post this on the TikTok, too.
Yeah, bro. So, yeah, if you can also send us shit on our social media, too. It's all in our link tree. Just click it. It's in the show notes. Okay.
You didn't even give me time to say ticket.
I did, and I did it purposely. Okay, fine.
Rude.
Just click it.
And ticket!
Or ticket. You said it wrong.
Shut
fucking
up.
Shit.
You know what?
You can't even get your dumb shit right.
Just kidding. You need to go to bed.
I do. I'm so tired and I hurt.
Okay. Well, without having to end this. Okay, I'm trying to end this. Okay, so keep it creepy and stay freaky.
Stop. Fuck are you doing? She's like, she fucking got her hands over her face like she's a fucking Teletubby. No, I'm like a little fucking sun baby.
Trying to talk to you through my brain.
I'll fucking see you guys next Tuesday.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.